lift off and the clock has started.
Everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 291. Yes, that is correct. You heard me correct. 291. Recording April 21st, 2024. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we are going to be talking about the Indie World Showcase, some new games that have dropped. We are going to be talking about the ever expanding Fallout of Fallout, if you will. And, you know, we'll figure the rest out along the way. To do this, I have with me, as always, Justin, that just depends, Carter.
It's your boy. Thank you for getting the episode number right this week. I know it's hard. You know, not everybody gets it right on the first try. So kudos to you, you know.
But I have hundreds of these under my belt, Justin.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so funny story. So this week, this happened... I want to say on like Wednesday or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I woke up, it was 3 a.m. and I woke up and it was because I felt something wet, like on my thigh, like just a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I was like, what the fuck is that? And I shit you not, like I 100% thought that Megan like wet the bed.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, dude, like what the fuck? And I went to like move away to like investigate. And then all of a sudden it was like massive puddle. Just like in the middle of the bed. And I was like, oh my God, like what the fuck? And then that woke Megan up and she's like, I was like, did you wet the bed? And she's like, no, did you wet the bed? And she turns on the light. Yeah. Turns out at some point in the middle of the night, I took the lid off my water bottle, took a drink, and then just never put the lid back on.
Oh, jeez.
Laying precariously balanced on my chest, like a third full. And I guess when I rolled over or whatever, it tipped the bottle onto the bed and then it dumped out the rest of the water in between us.
So I guess you technically did wet the bed.
I did. It was technically my fault. I did technically wet the bed. But then, you know, once I realized it was not piss, like it was funny at that point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It, being 3 a.m. and being woken up by something wet touching, I thought I was not thoroughly pleased at first, but then realizing the events that actually occurred, I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. And then pulled all the sheets off and whatever.
Yeah, no, that's one of the more unpleasant ways to wake up, is something wet and fabric touching you. That's a top five bad way to wake up in my book.
Yeah, I would say that is not number one. My number one worst that I've ever woken up to is I probably went. My cat Oswald sleeping on my chest woke up and then immediately decided he was going to throw up like regurgitated cat food on my chest, and then waking up to him coughing and trying to like throw him off, but then knowing it's too late and then just being covered in cat food. It's like, dude, and then I have to clean it up. And it's like at least with the water, it's like, cool, just pull the sheets and put some new ones on. You're getting like, no, like with the cat food, it's like, got to get the like scrubber.
And puked on by a cat. Like, that's, you're right. That's a bad way to wake up. That's up there. 100%. Ugh, geez. Well, that is a funny story though. As you can tell, one Shannon Moore is not with us. He is, doing dad baseball duties, and, it was the only time we had to record. So here we are, you know, it worked out that way for me last week, and now it's Shannon's turn. Thankfully, the dogs do not play any organized sports, so our boy Justin is holding it down for both of these podcasts.
Yep, I'm good. It's like, you know, classic case of shared custody between the parents. You know, Shannon got me last weekend,
right?
Took me to ice cream and a movie. This week, you know, Zach has me while, you know, Shannon's with his other family.
Yep, yep. With his real family.
Yeah. Real family.
The, so last night you said, it's funny you say ice cream in a movie, because, that's what I did last night when I was alone with my children. My wife's mom had surgery, so she's, the kids are taking turns being the house nurse while she's recuperating. So she had spent the night over there, and we got some Baskin Robbins and watched Migration, which, okay, if you don't remember, Shannon talking about, and he was kind of like, that's an apt review. Like, you know, Peacock was the correct price for me to watch Migration.
Middle of the road children's animated movie.
I mean, and to be fair, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not like it's bad. It's not like it's the first Trolls movie or something where I'm just looking at the clock, counting the seconds until it's over. It's just, there was nothing good about it either. It was totally fine and totally harmless. And like, yeah, that's my review. Were there a couple of funny moments? Sure. But like, Migration is not an Illumination hot joint, let me tell you.
Yeah, it wasn't you intensely staring at the screen, trying to unfocus your vision so you don't have to watch the movie. Right.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because like I'm used to the kids' choices kind of hitting a little. Like these studios,
I raised you better than this.
Well, Illumination has kind of stepped its game up some. Like, you know, they've done the Grinch in 2019. That was fabulous. All of the Despicable Me's are pretty good.
The Mario movie.
The Mario movie was good. You know, like, and I'm not going to say any of these were bangers. Like, you know, I'm personally going to watch them over and over again, but I don't get mad when they're on. And so to have an Illumination movie just be like, well, I'm never going to watch that again. That, okay, we're good here. Thank you. That was a bit surprising to me. But, you know, they all can't be winners, I guess. There'll be no Universal ride based around Migration. Let me put it that way.
I don't know. You know, they could just basically reskin the Secret Life of Pets one or something. Like, really, all you need is just a little four-seater wagon that wiggles around, omnidirectional, and you're sprayed with water. At some point.
You're going to have to land in a pond, and that's when you get sprayed with water.
Yeah, it's soar into the pond. Yeah.
Well, you know, what you do is you change the Harry Potter ride. So instead of going through the castle, you're flying a Migration from Maine to Jamaica, and that's what you're doing.
There we go. All right. Yeah. So write a letter. Universal, if you're listening, we got an idea.
Yeah, because I'm sure ripping down the most expensive, most popular Harry Potter attraction is really high on their list of things they want to do.
Dude, I think it would feel some, like, them doing that, people would want to ride the ride to be like, what did they tear this down for?
And then they would, and be like, what?
What did I just spend 15 minutes on?
These freaking muggles, I tell you. Kids still not into Harry Potter. No real interest.
Really? Either of them?
No. My daughter, her friends have started to, you know, she's 7 and she's at the age where her friends are starting to pick up the Harry Potter business through like siblings and whatnot. So she's, let's call it Potter curious.
Okay.
But I've even been like, yeah, we can watch Sorcerer's Stone. Go ahead and throw it on. And she's like, no. Nah, I don't want to. And I'm like, why not? And I think she's under the guise that they're pretty scary.
Mm.
Which I can see it. I can see why she would think they're intense. She's like, her line is, I'm going to wait till I'm old enough to read the book. And I'm like, okay. Yeah,
and that's respectful.
That's fair. Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's weird to think about because it's like thinking about, like, I remember in, I want to say about 4th or 5th grade, probably more like 5th grade, I think, is when like Harry Potter was like really big for me. Like kids were like, you know, actively like reading the books in class and doing whatever. But it's also, I'm like, so okay, maybe like a couple more years. But then it's like at the same time though, around that time is like when the books were actually coming out. So it's like, you know, when Goblet of Fire came out, like that was like a big deal at school. Like everyone had like that book like in there and like whatever. So it's like now it's kind of interesting, I guess, to kind of see, you know, longevity wise, since like all the books are out, all the movies are like, it's more or less done. Like they're adding little side stuff here and there, but to see kind of how it carries on through like, you know, the Game of Thrones and the like whatever and Percy Jackson's and all the other kind of.
Well, and it's interesting and because for me as an I was an adult when Harry Potter was happening. Right.
Right. And you guys kind of missed the boat on that.
Yeah. And I mean, not old. I mean, I was 19, 20, you know, it's not like. So I still had a lot of friends that were really into it at the time and still do have friends. And now they're into it with their kids and stuff like that. But for me, who never really was that into it, it's been like 25 years of going like, my God, can you people read another goddamn book? Like, Jesus, like, no, no, I don't care what the sorting hat says you are. It's like it's the Xennial equivalent of like, I'm an Aquarius. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, you're a Gryffindor. It's like, bro, can we read another book? Can we just crack any book and read it, please? Like, oh, my God. But so I've kind of developed an anti-Potter stance just from the annoyance of talking to Potter fans
because I'm not like one. Zelda.
A little bit. Yeah. You can see that contrarian nature come through, but my wife being a huge Harry Potter person, and it's been long enough since I've watched the movies because I was watching them as they came out and was not a huge fan of them, but I didn't dislike them either. I thought they were good. I'm kind of ready to experience it again. It'd be fun. I could do it.
Yeah, get to see it through. And that's the one thing, too. Get to see it through, like, your kids' eyes for, like, right. the first time and stuff. Like, them actually, like, experience it.
So, on our Marvel rewatch, we are up to Ragnarok.
Okay.
And that one was super fun to watch with the kids, to see them experience it for the first time. You know, like, and it's funny because having read a bunch of comics as a kid and knowing all these characters are and things like that, it doesn't hit me that in the MCU, you don't come across a character as powerful as Hela until that movie. Like when she catches Mjolnir and shatters it, my kids were flipping out. Like they couldn't believe what they just saw.
Gobsmacked.
Yeah, 100%. And then it started the conversation. I had to pause the movie because it started the conversation of like, wait, okay, so how can she do that? Wait, does that mean Odin is like way stronger than everyone because he was keeping her back? Like blah, 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 blah. Like how can Thor beat her if he doesn't have the hammer? Like it was just this like.
Open the floodgates.
Yeah. But it was really fun to see them be that into it. Like they weren't just like, yeah, whatevs. What happens next? You know, it was like they were genuinely invested. Concerned and invested. And yeah, it was really fun. And that movie's just so good. So
did they think it was funny? So since you're at that point, that means they watched Age of Ultron, right?
Yes.
Did they think it was funny when like Cap went to like pick up the hammer and it like, a little and Thor got scared?
They did. They thought that was great. And then they, my daughter's always saying the, you know, Hawkeye line of like, the city's flying. I've got a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. Yeah, you know, she's always doing that, which is fun. But yeah, so rewatch is going good. And that dovetails nicely into this month's PS Plus releases, which had the Lego Marvel's Avenger game. So they wanted that one. So we downloaded that and it's a Lego game, but it goes through the whole storyline of Age of Ultron. And it does the usual spin of like, you know, all the nasty bits, it makes funny instead. And all that type of stuff, you know, like for comic relief with Lego characters instead of like true violent, crazy crap, you know? So like in the Jurassic World or Jurassic Park one, when the guy gets eaten on the toilet, T-Rex opens his mouth and he's like scrubbing his teeth with a toothbrush. You know, stuff like that. It's just like silly stuff like that. But
instead of Quicksilver getting gunned down by like 60 bullets, he's just gonna like legs are just gonna pop off,
right?
Fall down.
So yeah, it's been fun. What having their the little Marvel renaissance in the house with them. But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So shows, sorry, I wasn't there last week. So shows
right.
based off games. Not one of you mentioned BioShock.
It's because it's, I didn't mention BioShock because that kind of seemed like the low hanging fruit. Like there's been talks for like decades at this point of them trying to do a BioShock movie or trying to. So for like my personal picks, I was trying to go a little more outside of the box, but 100%, like, I mean, if they could get the budget behind it.
So here would be my spin on it. You lean into Rapture mm-hmm. as your main character, right? Like the city itself, like those, like, you know how some of the greatest mob movies or whatever, New York itself is a character.
Yeah.
Like you kind of have that for Rapture. And I would set it, start first episode, the discovery of Adam and how it changes the human body and what they're doing. And like that whole first season is like from that point all the way up to plasmids, all the way up to the fall of Rapture. That's how I would do it. No Jack, none of that stuff. You know, you just have the whole like, how did we get here type thing.
Okay.
That would be my take on it.
I could see that. And, you know, even if they weren't to do something live action, I could see them if they did like the Arcane approach and do it kind of like in that art style and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that could lend really well to like the world of BioShock.
Well, that's a fantastic segue because that type of art style and approach is my choice for Portal.
Mm. Yeah.
With all the companion or the AI spheres and GLaDOS and, you know, it's Chell trying to get her way out. Like the whole show is just you started at the very bottom and you're just trying to get out and the hijinks that ensue.
Dude, I think that would be funny too if like each episode was like a room, like it's like a level.
That would be funny.
Like level one, level two, and that's like how the episodes are numbered, and then it's like the last level is basically like the end.
And you get to figure out about Cave Johnson and who her parents are and all that stuff. I think I could see that. The other big one that I would throw out there is StarCraft. I think you have a great palette for like a space opera. You've got good characters already, Jimmy and all that. And then I think you could do a StarCraft. I think StarCraft could work as a TV show.
Yeah.
There's political intrigue. The Protoss are backstabbing each other.
I mean, Amazon's doing a Warhammer TV show. So right. Like, why not StarCraft?
I mean, big shocks for me. I know that I want StarCraft and BioShock, but and Portal for that matter. But yeah,
the icing on the cake would have been if you'd have been like, yeah, Titanfall 2 TV show. That would have been right. The full circle.
The circle of life. But yes, I think all those would be fantastic. There was one other that I was trying to think of that. What was the one you said that I would say?
I don't know. I thought, you would say Titanfall. And then I know Shannon yeah. said Resistance.
Oh, right. Right.
TV show. Because of course.
Because of course. Yeah. I also think, and this might not be popular because it's been tried before, but it's been tried as a movie. I think that you could pull something out of the most recent Tomb Raider games. You know, the one, that second game that was based around like the Jesus Messiah figure who, you know, moved from the Middle East out to the jungle and everyone took his followers with him, giving him eternal life and all that stuff. Like there's something there, but I think I almost feel like Lara Croft has too much baggage with the name at this point. Like it would almost be something where you would do it and not call it Tomb Raider.
Just call it Croft.
Yeah, Croft.
I could see that, you know, after seeing, you know, like The Last of Us and stuff, I could see HBO Max doing like a Tomb Raider show or even like a Far Cry TV show.
Oh, Far Cry is a good call. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like they could even get, you know, Gus from Breaking Bad, whatever, like get him to be the villain. Like, sure. Just bring him into the real world. Just make him the bad guy. Give me 12 episodes of, you know, them trying to like go take him down.
What about Infamous? If we're doing forgotten, or if we're doing older, not forgotten, well, sadly, probably forgotten. Oh, you said Viva Pinata would be what I want.
And, oh, that's what Shannon said. That's Seth Rogen. He's like,
as the donkey. Yeah, totally. But no, how about Infamous? Cole story? Second season in New Orleans? Yeah, dude. We could do it.
I could see that. And that's also, that's another one with like the arcane art style that would, with the comic booky like look would.
Well, yeah, because that's how the cutscenes were in that.
Yeah.
I mean, not directly, but I mean, pretty close. Very similar. But yeah. Yeah. So that was my two cents on the shows that could be.
Yeah. I think those are some solid picks. Like I can literally see pretty much all of those working. So.
Okay. So. How do we feel about Fallout 76 discovering a brand new life with the release of the show Fallout?
You know, I'm indifferent towards it. Like, I guess it's funny that, you know, it's kind of like, because Fallout, the TV show, came out, I have seen a lot of people posting more, like a lot of people are playing Fallout 4. Right mm-hmm. now, a lot of people.
Well, and New Vegas was on sale on Steam for like $3 or something crazy like that. Like New Vegas is arguably the best game.
Yeah, and I want to say all of them are on Game Pass. Like I think 76, 3, New Vegas. So like the entire lineup is on there. So that's great for, you know, I'm sure Microsoft is killing it right now with people downloading all those to play it. But it is interesting that, you know, that game initially kind of got sent out to die, and then now it's kind of getting this second resurgence because of the TV show and all these new players like interested in checking it out.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but as of today, Fallout 76 has the most concurrent players it's ever had, and it's released 4 years ago now. Like, as of today, it hit 66,000 simultaneous players on Steam, which is the highest it's ever been, was 40.
And, you know, that really, I think, speaks volumes and kind of goes to show you, like, the power that a lot of these shows based off video games have. Mm-hmm. Like, Cyberpunk went through the same thing. When the anime came out, a bunch of people downloaded Cyberpunk, and, like, they knew it, too, because they put that game on sale for, like, $15 or something like that, like when the anime dropped, and then did like a bunch of DLC with like references to the anime and stuff like that, and their numbers skyrocketed when that came out, and they had like the most players they had since like initial launch because of that.
So the interesting thing for me, like you said, the initial game got released to die, and if you remember, there was all that, like, you know, the collectible bag wasn't what they promised, and
it was the special edition, like, yeah, they showed some nice like nylon bag or whatever, and it was essentially like something that you'd pay 10 cents for at like a grocery store,
and a ton of the features were missing from the game, and everything that was promised wasn't working, and it was just a dumpster fire, right? So what happened is everyone logged in to check it out, went, oh god, everything's on fire, and left, and no one came back. Except they didn't shutter the game. They just have been fixing it for 4 years and adding to it for 4 years. And so now I think you finally have this semi-launch event for Fallout 76, and the game's great. Like, it seems like everyone that is coming to it that I know for the first time has been like, no, this game's awesome, to the point where I'm like, do I need to download Fallout 76?
Like, am I out of touch?
Is this a good, like, game? Maybe this game rules and I need to check it out. I don't know. I've been pondering. I'll have you know that. Looks like it plays on the Steam Deck. Just saying.
Those are the magic words.
All right, right. So, I mean, again, I think the Redfall issue comes up where it's like, stops calling these things releases. They're early access. You slap beta on the title. You release it to the public. And you're like, yeah, it's a dumpster fire, but it's early access, guys. Whew, man, help us fix it. Help us make this game the best we can. And you know what? Not one headline is, can you believe this dumpster fire they released? The headline is like, yeah, it's early access, all right, but there's a lot of good ideas in here. That's the headline. That's what you get, which sounds a hell of a lot better than, holy shit, everything's on fire. So I think these are the lessons to be learned here. Because again, if Cyberpunk did that, no one would complain. People would be like, yeah, wow, people are T-posing all over the place. But hey, early access, it is what it is. They'll fix it.
Dude, after you name dropped Redfall, I'm like, man, is that how they're going to get Redfall to be good now? Is they're going to after Fallout, they're going to Amazon with their TV show idea. They're like, we need a Redfall TV show that's going to come out in like 2026. So then by the time that comes out, you know, the game will have been fixed and everyone will want to re-download it and play it.
And now we have a whole new user base and it's free. Yeah, maybe. Maybe this is the Microsoft business plan we've never thought we saw coming.
the here's your video game with the launch of your TV show.
But it is curious to me how Fallout is really catching steam from this, no pun intended, from this show. I mean, the show's gotten great reviews. People love it. I'm one of those people. I think it's a really good show. And I mean, even Magic the Gathering is putting out a Fallout set. It's like, we have all this stuff. And Fallout, I mean, really, before this show was dead, I didn't hear anyone talking about, hey, y'all play that Fallout 76. Like, no one was talking about Fallout whatsoever.
Yeah, and then now you can't even log into Twitter without seeing a clip of, like, oh, it's got renewed for season 2, or I've been seeing a bunch, like you said, like, oh, hey, guess what? Fallout 76 actually isn't like that bad of a game. And, you know, me and my friends are playing it and it's fun.
So, I mean, you gotta put this down as one of the biggest surprises of the year. The reemergence of Fallout as like, and you know what? It's funny because me and you being so close to video games for like our entire lives, things come, they go, they move, and you know, PAL World was the biggest thing in the world 4 months ago. And it's like, yep, sure was. Am I still playing it? Yeah, from time to time. But do I think about it as like this huge entity? Not at all. Ever. You know, and Fallout was kind of like that. It was a little out of sight, out of mind. And you forget that when a good Fallout thing happens, holy crap, that's a big brand. That is a huge brand with a lot of power behind it, because all of a sudden a good TV show on Amazon Prime has made it the talk of gaming. Yeah. And that's wild. In 2024, the last product being bad released 4 years ago to horrendous reviews and jokes. And it's now it's to the point where people are like, but I like Fallout. Maybe they made it good. Maybe we can download that. And it's like, seriously, the thing everyone was dunking on 4 years ago. And I find it fascinating just as like kind of like a public study, like a public relations study, as far as the power of a brand and the power of like mental mind share it has in a public space.
Yeah, all the nerds came out of the woodwork, dusted off their little 3D printed Pip-Boys. Hell yeah, Fallout's back, baby.
Why you gotta put Shannon on blast like that, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was in his workbench right now. I would.
Oh yeah, if his MakerBot was putting together a Pip-Boy as we speak,
he's like sitting there docking his like iPhone 16 into his little 3D shell of a Pip-Boy.
He's buying an Android phone just so he can like have it run the Pip-Boy software.
Yeah, he's like, dude, why not? These things are hella fucking cheap. I mean, Justin's still using his Note 8 from fucking 8 years ago. So
I mean, the thing is, your Note 8 probably could run Pip-Boy software. There's probably someone that makes one out for it.
Probably.
But yeah, I'm very curious to see if this is, you know, the month of April's flavor of the week, or if people are still talking about Fallout 76 2 months from now. It'll be interesting to see. Because if I'm Microsoft, the iron's hot. Time to strike. If you got a big content drop or a plan coming, now is the time. Do it. Get it out there. Because, I mean, they just released a couple big updates. But, hey, man, if you got a new Pittsburgh-style level DLC package out there to drop, now is the time to push the green button. You know, people will be in. All right. Well, Justin, why don't you walk us through the Indie World Showcase Nintendo dropped?
Yeah, you know, this week Nintendo did another one of their classic Indie World Directs. And, you know, for the most part, like, there was some good stuff. Like, you know, it was a short, no Silk Song. No one's surprised.
Shocking.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no Silk Song or Hades 2 or, like, any of that. But there was some good stuff. I know one of the games I'm super excited for, Anton Blast. They showed, and now it has a date, and it is confirmed to be coming out more, I think it's like November or something. It's like towards like the end of this year. And that is the one.
Very Pizza Tower-y.
Yes, it is Pizza Tower. It's Wario Land 4. A lot of what's funny too is I saw on Twitter a lot of people, it caught a lot of slack. It's been around for a while. Like, it was on Kickstarter. Like, I backed it. But it got a lot of slack, and people were calling it a Pizza Tower clone.
Oh, funny.
And it's one of those things where it's like, it's been in development for almost as long. I think it came technically after Pizza Tower, but like, the people making it are friends with the people who make Pizza Tower. And it's like, they're not competing against each other. And it's like, both of those games are inspired off of Wario Land 4. So it's like, neither one is an original thing in and of itself.
So yeah, I mean, none of this is really jumping out at me as like a big thing to I don't know. Like, there's some neat stuff, like, but nothing that's like calling my name too much. And I think it's just the waves of indie games. Like, things get popular, people make them, and whether it appeals to you or not is kind of whether the wave speaks to you all that much. You know, it was survival games, and then before that it was Metroidvanias, and then now it's like, to be honest, I don't even, platformers, you know, your pepper grinders and all that type of stuff. And I don't know, nothing's just jumping out at me.
Well, and it's crazy to me too, because speaking of like pepper grinders and stuff, like, that just came out this year, and it's kind of crazy that like, even for stuff like Devolver Digital, like, you know, they have all this stuff in the work, like, you know, your Plucky Squires and Skate Story and Angerfoot and like all this stuff. But then they also have their stuff like Pepper Grinder and, you know, I can't, like, Trek to Yomi or like whatever, like these games that are under their label, but they just kind of come out and then like a week goes by, whatever, and you never really hear about them again. But then you have like your Carrions and your Cult of Lambs and stuff that kind of stay relevant, or like, you know, more people talk about them and stuff like that. So it's kind of crazy how, you know, some of them make it and some just kind of fall to the wayside with all the indie games that come out every single day.
Yeah. And I get, you know, that you bring up a good point. There's just so much coming out.
Yeah.
Like, imagine trying to be the person that tries to put an event like this together. Like, okay, we're releasing 80 games a day on Steam. Here are 20 that are coming up that you need to pay attention to.
Right. Yeah. Being the person, I'm sure they get like tons of stuff that's like, please show my thing. And it's like, all right, like, what in this little 15 minute time slot, like, what are we going to fit
into this? Right. So interesting. But what have you been playing?
Dude, honestly, not too much. Like, I really do want to get back on the Persona train again. Mm-hmm. And then another Game Pass game just came out that I have installed that I want to check out called Botany Manor.
Yeah, I was looking at that one too.
I have it installed. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but maybe I'll have some news on that next week. But besides that, really, I've just played a little bit of Helldivers this week. And yeah, I know...
I finally got on with Shannon and was able to do some hell diving.
I know. I was kind of sad that I was at my parents' at the time, so I wasn't able to join you guys. But I know you and Shannon got to hop on, and you got a couple games under your belt.
Yeah, we played for about an hour, hour and a half, and it was fun. That game is a lot better when you're playing with people, you know.
Yeah.
It is. It is true that that is the case. It was funny, though, because... You know, I was cadet level 3 or 4 or something like that when we started. And it was, I had played very sparingly here or there. And I hadn't played Helldivers in like 2 weeks. And starting that game up was totally like, I have no idea what I'm doing anymore. Like,
right.
I was just like, Shan, I was like, Shan, where do I go? Like, how do I start a mission? Because like, I've forgotten everything about this game. I don't. And so he was walking me through it. We do some runs and he's got all this cool gear and I'm like, I want that crap. Like, how do I get that stuff? And he's like, what do you mean? How do you get it? Go over here and buy it. Like, what's wrong with you? And
I'm like,
go over where? And so he's like, just follow me. Walks over there. So yeah, now I have turrets. I've got a shotgun. He's like, what level are you on your war bonds? I'm like, what now? Level? I'm on the what? On the what?
War bonds?
Yeah. And so yeah, I'm level 8 on that now because I went through it on like I had all these credits that I just didn't do anything with, so I'm up to the 8th sheet on that. So I've got cool gear and weapons now. Like I'm fitted out, dude. I know what to do now.
Nice.
Got my stratagems locked in, recalling stuff, calling down orbital strikes. Life's good, man.
Dude, that's what's up. I know. I still want to have the three of us actually play at some point.
I know. I was super bummed that we couldn't, all three of us couldn't do it, but soon, hopefully. And then, so speaking of Game Pass, I downloaded another game that I've been staring at for a little bit because it looked really cool, unique at least. Harold Halibut. Have you heard of this game at all?
No, but the name's pretty funny.
It's kind of a point and click adventure type game. You're the titular Harold Halibut and you are in a spaceship that is underneath an ocean, many planets away. A huge ship that's like the size of a city basically. And they've taken off from Earth to escape the Cold War. And hundreds of years later, they crash land on this planet. That they thought was going to be their new home, but turns out there's no land. And so they're underwater in the ship and hijinks are ensuing. There's a company called the All Water Company that is running everything. It is incredibly like bespoke looking, like very much a handcrafted. I mean, it's different. It's stop motion, like claymation type of an aesthetic, but it very much reminds me of that like Yoshi's Woolly World type thing where everything looks like handmade. It's really slow. I was not prepared for how long it takes to this game to get moving, like hours of you just kind of going to feed some fish and then you go watch a thing on TV and then you go to a store and then you go like you are doing the most menial of tasks. And meanwhile, trying to get like the littlest bit of plot that's happening around you. I'm probably going to give it another hour or so, hoping it picks up and kicks into some sort of like forward momentum. But right now, if this is what the game is, it's really cool. It's really pretty. I'm enjoying the visual aesthetic a lot, but I'm not going to be playing it anymore. Like, it's just so slow.
So I'm looking it up on Steam, and I do remember seeing this on like the recently added for Game mm-hmm. Pass. The art style is really cool. It reminds me a lot of like there's this one YouTube video I used to love called The Mysterious Stranger and stuff that was from some like Mark Twain claymation. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know that thing. Yeah.
He's like, welcome, it's The Mysterious Stranger, and it's Satan or whatever that you're mm-hmm. talking to. But it looks a lot like that. But yeah, I'm reading the reviews for it, and it has like about like a, I don't know, like star-wise or whatever. It was like 3.5 out of 5. Or whatever on Steam, and like the first few reviews, everyone has like 12 hours on file, and they're like, oh, it's an interactive story and it's gorgeous and da da da, but it takes too long for what it is. And then like the next one's like, I'm a fan of walking simulators and slow burn films, but I can't imagine anyone not getting bored of this by chapter 3.
Yeah.
Someone was like, BioShock, but everyone's autistic.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, man. That's awful. Well, and that's the other thing is, like, all the characters kind of suck, too. So you're not, like, even Harold, you're not really rooting for him. He's just kind of a dumbass. And you're like, all right, dude. Like, I guess. Like, but I also kind of see why everyone's really fucking annoyed with you, because you're annoying. Like, I don't know.
Like, I don't want to help you, and I have to fucking play as you.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't. It's one of those things where visually it's so neat, it's worth playing. But Game Pass is 1,000% the correct price for this game.
That's the one.
Yeah, it was cool to download, to fire up, to walk around being like, oh, sweet, look at all this cool stuff. And, like, look how they built this world out. And, like, how these characters move and interact is really neat. Yeah, I don't. I think I might just get the plot summary somewhere and move on with my life, maybe. But yeah, that was a bummer. A little bit of a bummer there.
Well, luckily, maybe we'll both get down on some Botany Manor or something like that, and that'll put a little spring in your step.
Maybe some Fallout 76.
there you go.
But yeah, so that's outside of that, I'm still messing with Pal World. They've been doing updates to that game. They've added functionality and added things, and things have gotten smoother. Still will crash randomly. There's areas in the map that just don't populate, so you fall through them.
Jesus.
But at least now you can see them. Because before, it would just be like, you'd just be walking across like the desert, right? And then all of a sudden you would just like fall through, and now you're in water and the desert floor is above you, and you can't get back up to there because now you can't fly back through where you fell because it's solid now. It's like this weird, it was like super weird bug. But now when there's areas like that, the textures don't map fully. So you can see that they just, you know, they look like a Scooby-Doo cartoon. Like, oh, that's the door that's going to open because it's different color than the rest of the background. Yeah, it's like that. So that is good, I guess. I don't know. But that game's still really fun. There's things that they can improve. Like, there's ways that they can scale the building and leveling in that game to make it more enjoyable. That game's still good. They need to add pals. They need to add a few things to make like weapons and going out and getting more pals actually worth it. And other than just leveling up, because right now it's like the only point is to level up. That's the only point. It's like, okay, let's get to the next thing on the tech tree. That's going to be the olive branch to get me to the next thing on the tech tree, which is going to take me to the next thing. And it's like the only point of the game is to just increase the tech tree. So they need to add more story beats in there, more point to the tech tree, but
yeah, more stuff like in the world to like, mm-hmm. oh, I hit this point on the tech tree. Now I can like go do this thing or whatever versus just, all right, well, we hit this. Now let's just grind to the next thing.
Because right now it's like, oh, I hit the point on the tech tree, which means I can upgrade my base, which lets me just get more pals. Like, that's all it is. Just like, okay, like, which is fun. But when you put in tons of hours in the game, it's not as fun anymore. Right. But yeah, so that's still good. I think that's all I've been. Yeah, the Marvel Avengers PS5. Oh, I downloaded Dave the Diver on the PS5 because I want to play that. I figured I'm going to play that one with my kids on just one save so we can progress quick enough between the three of us to get to the Godzilla DLC when they release that.
Smart.
Because, yeah, I'm not going to have the time to get there by myself, but with all of us.
Yeah, you're like, you kids have infinite time. Right. So here's the controller. Take it away. Get us there.
Get some fish. Get some sushi. Make it happen. Let's go. But yeah, I don't think we have any sirens this week, do we? I mean, I can talk about the first episode of Fallout if you want.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I want to hear your opinion. So I finished Fallout completely.
Oh, you did?
Now.
Okay.
I did watch it all, but I am excited. You know, Shannon and I did talk about it, but I wanted to hear, what were your thoughts on Fallout?
I thought my first thought is they nail the aesthetic. Like, it's perfect. The look of the show is perfect. Man, that opening, the birthday party, holy crap. Like, that lets you know the beast you're dealing with right then. It's just like, man, with, you know, the tension ratcheting up and you're hearing the weather report where the guy's like, how am I doing the weather when there might not even be a next week? Like, what are we doing? You know, and then it cuts away from him real quick. And it's like, oh, no, we're only going to do happy shows. And then the whole like thumbs up thing. And what do you do? Yeah. If it's smaller than your thumb, you run. What if it's bigger? There's no point in running. And then it cuts back, your thumb or my thumb? And it's like, what? Yeah. Oh, man. But then when Vault 32 raids Vault 33, I thought that whole thing was done really well. And I love like the comedic way, like, because it was so heavy and so over the top violent that having the little moment of like, get that jello mold out of here was, you know, like totally worth it just to break the tension a little bit. Maximus, that whole storyline. I mean, he totally put the razor blades in the boots, right?
Yeah, right? I feel like he did. I'll tell you right now, they never really acknowledge whether he did or didn't.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's heavily implied that he did.
But like his whole storyline, I'm curious to see where it goes, because right now it's the weak link in the show.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, I just want to get back to is it Lucy? Right.
Yeah.
I just want to get back. I just want to get back to Lucy and see what's happening with her. She got out of the vault and she's in the wasteland. Like we go back to that storyline, please. And I think that just speaks to her as an actress. Like, she's so good in that role that you really just want to follow her and that story. And our boy is the ghoul. I love that dude in whatever he's in. He's great.
Yes, he's great in everything he's ever been in.
Yeah, so I'm on board. I like when they resurrect him, and he's just like, if you're talking one last score, that means your heart's not in it. That's the problem. I do this for fun. Boom, 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 boom. And then he leaves the chicken, you know, because he's not a wild ghoul.
Yeah, don't need that chicken.
But yeah, my initial review is fantastic. Good stuff. I'm a few more episodes in, but I don't want to talk about them because Shannon's not here and I don't want to, I'd rather discuss with him. I don't know where he's at, so I don't want to like jump past him.
Right.
But yes, it is very good. Way better than I thought it was going to be. Like, shockingly good, I would say.
You know, same, as someone who finished it, I made a point about, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but I was talking about it with friends about how surprised I was that they dropped all 8 episodes at once.
It was surprising. Yeah.
versus doing what they normally do, which is usually just drop the first three, and then they tend to move into like a weekly release model with the
Because they did that with The Boys and Gen V and all those Invincible, shows.
Everything is like that's usually their like bread and butter is we give you the first three and then we make you wait.
Mm-hmm.
But and I was like, yeah, dude, that's kind of weird. But yeah, I ended up blowing through all 8 episodes, which was kind of wild. It's so funny because it's like, as much as I enjoy it too, I couldn't like help, but like, felt like it's like a higher quality CW show is kind of how I felt watching it, which, you know, CW shows do get a bad rap and whatever. And I feel like a lot of my comparison to it being a CW show is more so not like the quality, but it's just Fallout as a world is very weird. And, like, you know, disjointed. Mm-hmm. Like, you have Lucy, who's in this, like, weird blue jumper. And then, yeah, you have, like, big CGI cockroach people and ghouls. Just, like, this such... And then you have mech-looking, like, suit. It's, like, such a weird hodgepodge of, like, all these different kind of, like, sci-fi elements, like, crammed together that, like, it all works together, but it's also visually very like off because just like all this different shit like happening in like one world. But I felt they really captured the world super well. And I haven't played I've played Fallout 3 and 4. I never beat them, but I know there's like a lot of elements like from like the opening, like the whole episode 1 whatever reminded me a lot of the opening of 3. Mm-hmm. And then like there's like of course like meat, the dog meat, and like what at the gas station, like all of that is straight out of 4 and stuff. So it seems like they took a lot, they cherry picked a lot of elements. I never played New Vegas. I'm assuming there was like some New Vegas references or whatever that I just didn't know. But it seems like they cherry picked a lot of elements from those three games and kind of combined it together to make this show, which is really cool.
Now, do you have a draw to go play some more?
It's one of those things where, yeah, a little bit. Like, of course, after coming off of it, it's like, oh, yeah, dude, like, that's awesome. Like, maybe it makes me kind of, like, want to, like, reboot up, like, 4 again or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, give it a go. But it's kind of like one of those where it's, like, at the same time, I feel like after, you know, sleeping off that, like, hype of it and stuff, it's kind of like, do I really want to, though? Like, I don't know. Right. Like, yeah, it was cool watching it as a show and whatever, but it's like, do I really want to, you know, they're not little games either. It's like, you know,
for sure.
That's a big commit. It's like, dude, I'm not realistically going to be putting like 40 hours into Fallout 4 or anything like that. But, my biggest complaint of the show is the fact that like it 100% sets up for a season 2. Which we are getting, which is good. I'm glad mm-hmm. they came out and officially. There's too many shows. They release a season or leave it open-ended, and then it gets canceled, and it's just like, well, fuck me, I guess. I just invested all this time into this whatever that I'm never going to get any real resolution out of. And I feel like that was kind of my one big complaint about it, is like they answer some questions, but then just give you, at the very end, like 10 more questions, and are like, mm-hmm. well, tune in for season 2, I guess, because you're not getting any answers to this. It's like, cool. I guess that's fun. I guess I'll wait.
I got all the time in the world. No time.
Yep. but no, I was surprised at how good it was, too.
Yeah. Like how you guys were saying last week, I hope it speaks to a new renaissance of video game shows, because there's a lot. There's a lot of the games, there's a lot of stories that they could lean on, so we will find out. But yeah, I guess with that, we have a show.
Yeah, Say another one Shannon. In the books.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, Justin, why don't you go ahead and take us on in for a landing?
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. You know what? Head on over to the Discord. Let's know. Did you see any indie games in the indie Nintendo Direct that you'd be interested in? Are you guys interested in returning to the world of Fallout 76 or 4 or whatever after watching the show? Head on over. let us know. And while you're at it, head on over to Spotify, give your boys a review, let us know how we're doing. And Zach, if Shannon was here, what do you think Shannon would say?
Shannon would say, Zach would say, Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
And it may be May, but I swear to gosh darn, Squattober's coming quicker than two jackrabbits on a hot Skittle.
Yep, you nailed it.